You know, last week, Bonnie and I, we had a week. We started out, we had a pack rat, got in our car, and, just had a good old time. I never could get this thing out of the car. It was down around the engine. You know, that pack rat ate a wire that went to the compressor for the air conditioning. Bonnie experienced that going to Amarillo the other day. She said, "Hey, the air conditioning doesn't work." I thought, well, it's maybe Freon. We lost it somehow and got to investigating, and the pack rat had chewed a wire. So that's kind of the way it started. Got into mowing some grass with my zero turn. A pulley fell out, and we loaded up this big heavy thing on the trailer, brought it back. There's some repairs there. Had a Polaris Ranger the same week. That Polaris Ranger had to go back to the dealership. You know, all these things kind of started just stacking up and stacking up. And then we get back home, of course, with all this and get it to the places we need to work on it. I pick up parts to work on part of it myself. And then we find out that the lights on some landscaping around our fish pond and stuff was had a short in it. And it was just like a little goblin. Couldn't find it. So I had my ampmeter out, and I was chasing this thing for a day and finally found it, got that under control. You know, life at times, as Dave and I was talking earlier, it's just like it's putting out fires, isn't it? Of the things that we have going on in our lives and in whatever conditions that we're in at the time, it's sometimes it just loads up. Have you ever taken a piece of baling wire and you need a piece of baling wire and you don't have any wire cutters on you, and you just take it and find about the length you want and you just start working it and it starts heating up and you're changing the molecules of that metal and it finally it just breaks? You know, worry and cares in your life can build up to the point of becoming stressed. And that's what that wire was. It becomes stressed. And you know, we use that word today. I'm stressed. Use it a lot. If you're taking a test and you're not prepared to get stressed. If you have things, schedules in your life building up, stacking up, and cares, those things can become stressful. Really, I don't see the word stress in the Bible. I see troubled with cares. Worry. And so how many times have you read through the Bible and Jesus has said, don't be troubled, don't be troubled, don't be troubled. Told his disciples that many times, don't be troubled. And so we have to take that to heart ourselves, is don't be troubled. But it's hard to do, isn't it? It's really a difficult thing. So this morning, are you stressed? Let's say, put it in our terms, kind of also, are you worried? And these are the things that in our lives seem to really take place in our lives. Start out, what is stress? Let's give a definition here. Troubled with cares. We just kind of spoke about Jesus used that a lot. Don't be troubled with cares. And that's what a definition of stress is. If you're stressed about something, if you take the initiative and the attitude to look at whatever's in your life and start backing up, you're taking an engineering way of looking at getting to a problem. You go past that problem to the real culprit of what is causing it. And you start backing up from stressed and worry, and you start looking back at what's going on in your life, and you will get to that culprit of what's causing the stress. You know, we have to pick up the wire and start moving it to change those molecules to break it. It just didn't break on its own. And we don't break under stress on our own. It's self-inflicted. We have to understand that. So who is affected? We can look in the Bible and find out in Luke chapter 21, we can read here, Jesus is talking to his disciples. If it pertained to the disciples in the Bible, I'm going to say it's for everyone in the world that is affected then. We can find out in Luke 21, 34 through 35, it says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged," or burdened is the word there, "with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." So the importance of this is that we look and see the category that it was placed in. We see that it's put in right in there with drunkenness, surfeiting, and then he says, "and cares of this life." But if you really think about this a moment, how many times have you seen someone or know someone that has an attitude, "I've got to have a drink"? When that kind of really starts making sense, or "I have to do something to calm my nerves, it's been a day. I've got these cares in my life." Maybe it was a drink or drunkenness or drugs, or maybe somebody has so much stress in their life it requires doctors and counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists and everything in the world to try to get this under control because, one, it creates anxieties. And when it creates anxieties, it starts doing body functions, things that ain't good. It can make you sick. So then it starts requiring medications. So much involved on stress that we don't really think about. But you start looking back again and see what we're inflicting ourselves with. You know, it's important. Jesus says here in 35, for as a snare. You know, the devil's going to try to snare us in a lot of ways. If he don't have your will, he will try to draw you away from God. And let me tell you, something about stress that will involve you is one thing, is it will remove you from your family. It will remove you from your friends many times because you'll get quiet. You kind of get this tunnel vision, don't you? You'll want to get a little bit segregated to yourself sometimes, reserved. Or maybe start making unreasonable decisions in your life, doing things that don't even make sense that you have so much going on in your life. You know, those are things that affect us in just the ways that we can act from stress. You know, he's saying here, get a hold of it. Get it out of your lives because it's a snare. And he says here too, if you read on in verse 36, and he'll tell you why. If you look at that, he'll say, because you need to stand worthy in front of the Lord when he comes on judgment day. So we're finding out here, we don't need to be drunk, which we know as Christians, we don't go around being drunk or surfeiting, carousing around and partying and having hangovers and doing all these things that he's talking about here. But you do have cares in your life, don't you? Every one of us. And it's thrown right up in here that we've got to get control of it. We've got to stand before Jesus accountable that we can stand and to be worthy. If we have cares in our lives and we're stressed with them, we've got to remove them. The danger of stress. Luke 8:14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You know, in our lives, we've got to have time and we've got to have the abilities to reasonably do our church work, the things that we know we need to do as Christians. The fruits. When we're baptized and we take on that life to live a submitted life to Christ, we find out there needs to be fruit in our lives. The danger of stress and the cares of this life, as it says right here, the pleasures, the riches, is we pile all this on, and when we get done with our day, because we have so much to maintain, things break, things have to be scheduled, things have to get done. You've got to run a Polaris Ranger over to the dealership 3 hours from here. We pile all the stuff on ourselves and self-inflict ourselves with these things that at the end of the day, we're too tired. We don't want anything else in our day. We want to go home, get inside our house, and relax, go to bed. Many times, that's what we face in this life. We don't feel like having to do with anything else, do we? And if we don't bring our fruit as Christians to maturity, it's not going to happen. And this is what we face in our lives, the danger of stress. Cares of this life will cause stress. It's two things that I'll try to think about, really, that come to my mind is about stress that stand out in our lives is just being busy and our finances. And you know, many times I've had to write up a little list on the way. I had a little longer list to read. It just goes on and on. It's crazy what we get involved with on things that we buy with that almighty dollar that we get overcharged in our lives with the cares, burdened. You know, being busy, being under Satan's yoke. I had a friend of mine who gave me a little lesson, and it was about busy. And that's what the title was busy, but a note on it was being under Satan's yoke. Busy is a building block for stress and is on Satan's agenda to snare Christians, as we read on our first scripture. It's there to snare you. Cares of life. Throw it right in with drunkenness. It's way up there. Finances. Abundance of things. Cares, riches, and pleasures of life. We read that a moment ago. You know, busyness, I can't think of anything else really that stands out more than just working for non-essentials. You know, an essential, whenever the Bible concentrates on things of needs. And you think about the disciples and those people. I know they didn't have the technology we have now. We can go and get anything in the world that we want in this life, and it's 10 times better than it was most of the time than it was 20 years ago. Fuel injection, for the young people, believe me, it's better than a carburetor. We can get some really nice things in vehicles. The technology of the things that we have nowadays, we can buy so many nice things. Fuel injection, you don't have hardly any problem with. Carburetors, we was always working on them. Timing. Vehicles not that way. They're running 100,000 miles without any problems. But it costs a great deal of money. So if we add all of these things, we're going to be busy paying for it. You know, we have to work overtime a lot of times. You're tired. And many times both the spouses are working. And you put all that into the pot to try to pay for these things. Abundance of things. There's a few lists on finances. You have a budget. We do. But really, if you look at the Bible, it pertains many times to clothes, food, raiment, and some shelter. And it's us that we add on top of that. So really, you think about it, you know, we're going to have a car payment. We're going to have food, of course, and the basics. And we need a car to get to our jobs. But then we start throwing entertainment on there. The TVs, the magazines on the bedside to look at, the TVs to watch, the movies to go to, the vacations that we want to go to, the eating out that we want, the credit cards that we can easily charge to. Vacations. You know, we have those vacations that it starts out usually, oh, we're going to do $600, then it ends up $2,000. And, you know, do a little drive trip, and then it kind of just builds up. Something that we always think about as finances, really, truly, today is overtime. And many times, Bonnie and I, when I worked at American Airlines, well, I'll work a four-hour overtime. We'll have enough money. We'll get that. Activity with kids, and we've both been there. Believe me, our kids are grown now, but at times we had both kids in different select balls, and one was going away. Bonnie was going with daughter, and I was going with son. So we're going our separate ways. She was spending money, I was spending money, gas, food, time, away from each other, those kind of things. I'm not saying that a lot of these things are not good. Family needs to be close. But we're just looking at this as a whole big piece of pie in your life. Putting up for retirement really is one of the things that we try to think about. We'll put some money back for retirement, 401k, Roth IRAs, different things like that, accounts. Education, another thing that we spend money on. But we can go on and on and on. It depends on what you want to put in your life, in your house, in your barns, and the different things that you can add beyond your food, clothing, and some shelter. So we really... truly, cares of this life can cause stress because of those cares. Cares, riches, pleasures of this life. Luke 12:15 says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." You know, I wish that one thing that we all understand is that covetousness is exactly what that says. It's abundance of things, and life does not consist of that. But yet, brethren, are we doing it right? Are we truly doing it right? You know, we talked to a man, got hit with a tornado there at Bridgeport. Bonnie and I got together, some friends, and we got some reserves together, and we took some things that they are in need of. The man got hit. There was several families in one area that tornado went through west of Bridgeport. And found out about what was going on, went there, and deceased to some things and was taking this man some things, and he had a camper. He did drywall, and he was a poor man to start with, and this man had no insurance. So basically, you take a tornado going through on a poor man with no insurance, now you don't have anything. And he lived in a camper, and it was pushed up against a building and just ripped off part of the roof. All the insulation was soaked up, had a tarp over it. Houses around him was demolished, and we brought those things and seen humbleness. We seen proud to be alive. We seen a man who, when I asked him if does he need a 20 for some gas for work, and he said, "You give it to someone else that needs it." And that's why one of the reasons I'm doing this lesson, I'm really trying hard to put some things into perspective, and we should also. And if we don't think that we're not rich, take a trip to Nigeria and drive down the street and look at some people that are poor. If we consider ourselves here poor in America, then we don't have the right attitude. We have everything that we need and more. We've got to put things into perspective of the things that we are need, essentials. If you have a piece of paper, draw a line through it, put essentials and not essentials, and start listing everything that you need as essentials and non-essentials and see how long the list is to the right. And believe me, it's going to outweigh the one on the left. We need food. We need water. We need a place to stay. We need to get to work. But we add these things and add. And then we think that we need it because we're deserving of it. No, sir. Let's pick up a Bible, if you will. Read this one. It's a little bit lengthy, so I just wanted to read it. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read of a man who had the attitude that he was just going to put up a lot. And we're going to find out what God thinks about him. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Sound like he's going to retire, don't it? Verse 20. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we find out that we are to seek God first in this life. But sometimes we get that flipped around, don't we? You know, the scriptures teach us here, in the next slide, that this man was not really wise. It says here, we just read, said in 20 and 21, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." So we can see a little bit of perspective, can't we, in life, that God's perspective is that we work towards all of these things, and that we build the barns and we collect all these items. Whose are they? You're just going to leave them. This life is fleeting, and someone's going to come along, family, possibly be theirs. You know, it's we get caught up in this, that that's an important thing to do. What is important is that we love God and that we put him first. So we see that we're called a fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So a question to ask really is, if the cares of life has got us stressed, and it's like we read a moment ago, remember that if you're overcharged, if you're burdened in life, that it's a problem, and if we cannot stay close to God and do our work as a church, then we're foolish. It's not a wise decision. And God tells us that right here. You know, on that last trip we took home, I had so much going on, putting out fires, that really I was ignoring my family. I ignored my granddaughter. I ignored my daughter. And it showed. You know, we get blinders on. We get that tunnel vision. We were going to get this done on our own. We don't need no help. We were going to get her done. If daughters and granddaughters can notice not being close to them, how much more does God feel that we're ignoring him? We don't pray. many times when we're caught up in things like that. We're not seeing to the needs of the church work that we need to do. There's no closeness there. And we need to be close. We find out that we must be close to God. Cares of this life will draw us away. Remove covetousness. Luke 12:22 says, "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on." And again, let's look back at those times. Let's not think about these times. We've got a lot of extras. He's saying, don't be worried. Don't be stressed about food and raiment. Simple, basic things. But yet we put so much more on top of that. Remove covetousness. It's a problem in America. Why? Profits. I mean, just think about it. You get something put in front of you. I want to tell you, ladies and men, we're both guilty. When we go shopping, there's a lot of nice things to buy. If I go in a gun store or looking at Cabela's, there are things that I want to add to the list. I've got a bucket list, and you do too. All of us do. But those bucket lists increase to the point where, you know, I'll put it on the credit card. We'll get that later. You know, oh, it's, you know what? We don't have to pay interest on that for a while, so we're going to put it there. Oh, also, let's do this. We'll pay it off at the end of the month, okay? And that end of the month never comes, and it builds up. So what that does when it builds up, it puts stress, people, you and I, on us to have to pay those things off. Cares of life. And you know, I don't know if you're poor. I don't know if you're middle class, and I don't know if you're rich. It's not my business. But I know all those classifications are affected. Every one of them. Poor people want what they can afford, and they will work and strive at it. Middle class will do the same, and the rich will do the same. Bigger toys, middle toys, lower toys, but they're going to get as much as they can. So the classification truly is, it's the heart. If we have overcharged the heart, burdened, we have a problem. So we got to put God first. Luke 12:31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Not TV and entertainment and the vacations, your basic needs, your essentials. It is all God's. You know, that's something we need to think about. You know, it's kind of like the rain. Rain was put into order, wasn't it? That it's all of ours. That it just continues to go through a cycle, evaporates, it comes back down ever since the time was started. It's not new water. It's the same water that's been here. God put riches here for us to use. If we say it's all ours, then we got a greed problem. It's all God's. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Must put things in perspective about what we have that he gives us to use and enjoy in this life. The truth about money, Psalms 24:1, Psalm to David, or of David, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness, the riches thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Everything. Even us, we all belong to the Lord. We need to honor the Lord with what we have. You know, we have many times of this me, 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 it's my, my, mine, but we need to take time to honor God in the things that we have. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine." Put God first, he's going to provide your needs. You know, if you ever had any need that you are in need of, what do? You ask kids, you ask parents. We have a Heavenly Father that we need to ask, request, and he will help us with stress in our lives. We've looked at what stress is, the dangers of it today. We've looked at how it's involved in our lives. This lesson would not be a good lesson if we didn't have an answer to take care of stress in our lives. We're going to look at some answers. Number one, ask. Ask God for help with it. Philippians 4:6-7, "Be careful for nothing." Again, don't worry. Don't worry. "But in everything, by prayer, supplication, request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus." So if our minds is stressed and we have worries, what do? We ask. God, get these things out here. Help me. What do I need to do? So, again, if we're going to have to think about the action, God says, okay, you need help. but this is what you're going to have to do. Here's the stress. We're going to back up. These are the problems that's causing it. Get rid of them in your life. And that's what God's going to have an answer for us to do. So God is faithful to help you. How many times can we read in the Bible that God is a faithful God? When we ask, He will help. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Ask. If we go to a door and we knock on it, we expect somebody to be home, don't we? We kind of know they're there. We know God's there. When we're knocking and we're asking, we know He's there, we know He's faithful, and we know that He'll give us an answer for stress in our lives. And start backing up. The cares of our lives are caused by self-inflicted wounds. And maybe those are the things that He's going to reveal to you. It's like, hey, get these out of your life. Get these out of my life. We need to do it with thanksgiving. We just read to ask, request, prayer, but do it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So when we ask of these things, Lord, I've got these cares in my life, and I am overburdened with these things right now, or overcharged, my heart is. It's on my mind, I've got tunnel vision, can't get it off my mind. I know I'm ignoring my family, and I know I've ignored you. What do I do in my life? He's going to give you answers. But when we pray for those things and we ask, we need to give thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, and it's your will that all things be done. You know, we have positive things to think about besides having those worry on our minds. And once we get those things out of our minds, we can start thinking on some things that will help our minds not to get locked down on just worry and stress. We need to think on these things. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's a good, healthy way of thinking. What is on your mind today? Are those things on your mind? Colossians 3:2 tells us that we are set our affection on things above, not on things of earth. So if we're caught up with possessions and covetousness, cares of this life, then we don't have an affection. Have you ever had an affection, a hobby or something that you just love to do? You get into it, don't you? And I do. I have things that I will set to my affections to, and I will get it in order. We need to have the things above, heavenly things on our mind. You know, Paul, his affection on things above was a fervor. It was just burning, a burning desire. And we should have the attitude of Paul. Philippians 1:20 says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. You know, Paul was, it didn't matter what got in his way. He was about church work. We find out that we can read in there that he was shipwrecked, that he was beaten, that he was run out of town, that he was ridiculed. Many times suffered a lot of great persecution for church work. To go into a place to teach the gospel and you just have to keep on going out of town, run out. You know, these are things that he faced. And today as Christians, you and I, we may have some different things that we have to face. But one of them in our life today is cares of this world and stress and worry. And if it's not, God bless you. If it's not, if you're not to worry type, that's great. If you have those things going on in your life, fantastic. But I find out in the Bible and reading the scriptures, if he's talking to the disciples, sometime in our lives, we may have those things come across. And if it does, it needs to move on out. And if we're tied to just to sit there and dwell and worry on it, I've got a little sign scripture beside my bed. Don't worry. Quit worrying, because I seem to worry about things at times. So we have to have an affection for the right things. And if we do, we're going to get cares of this life under control. God will deliver us from stress. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So how do we bear those temptations on stress and worry? And you think about that, and think about that when you walk in your house today and you see all your stuff in your house and you see the things around you and you see what you got to do to take care of all that. What is it that's going to deliver us from those temptations? And you think about family and church work and things that we're involved in there that many times we ain't got time for it. I ain't got time to do that. I've got this. I've got this list here, and that leaves this time here. And if so, if the temptations is to take care of all that and to add more, God said, thou fool. And that's for us. If it's a thou fool, we need to change. I need to change. If there's a point in your life that you have those things and you're able to continue to do the things that God wants you to do, you ain't got no problem. And we know if we're there or not by our own heart, our own judgment on ourselves or conscience. If we can look at the things in our lives and know I'm overcharged with burden or I'm not of these cares, God will give you peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus saying again, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, I don't know if you're affected with cares and the stress of it. If you are, you know, get it under control for yourself, for your family, and mostly all your relationship with your Lord, that you can be closer to Him and that you don't have any separation from Him. You know, when we read that first verse a moment ago on drunkenness, surfeiting, and cares of this life, He threw it into a category there that it's just somewhere we don't need to be. Cares of this life may have made those people have drunkenness and things in their lives that they couldn't handle, and that's the stage they were in. But any stage in our lives, if it causes us stress and worry, and as Christians, we don't believe of bailing up to a bar and drinking it, those problems away, do we? But yet it comes out in different ways many times. We'll hold it in. It affects family, and it affects you and me in our relationship with God, to the point that He said, you get your life straight because we're going to have to stand accountable to Jesus when He comes. Don't let it be a snare to you. I hope that this lesson has been good for you, that it was good for me to read it and study it and put it in my life, that we don't have these things and going on in our lives, that we try to get rid of these things and help us to be closer to God. If there's someone here today that has these things going on in their lives and they need the prayers of the church, the elders here and this church will be proud to pray for you, to help you in that, that you can get those things out of your lives. Prayer to God and ask. The request is we just talked about. Asking and giving thanks to the Lord, because He will be faithful and He will help you with those things.